This is Marcy Schwartz and Cindy Goldman Lee on July 11th for the National Council of Jewish Women. We are interviewing Leonard Budoff in his offices on,
North Craig Street.
Mr. Rudolph, could you just say a few words just to make sure that we have all the voices?
Yeah, I've welcomed the two of you here today, and I'm sure we'll have a very pleasant hour or two together.
We look forward to it.
Okay.
Mr. Rudolph, why don't we start at the beginning?
Better than starting at the end.
Can you tell me if you'd like to share your birth date with us and where you were born?
I was born November 27, 1917. Okay. You can make a note of that and send me a present.
We will then. Well, I'm not real good at that. Really, were you born in Pittsburgh?
I was born in New York, a city. And my family moved back to Pittsburgh when I was just an infant, about 6 months old.
You say your family moved back to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, they lived in Pittsburgh. My father had the bright idea of becoming a manufacturer of blouses, which is what his line was in Pittsburgh, in New York, and they moved there, and I hated it. I was a fourth child, so I moved back to Pittsburgh.
How long were you in New York then?
Family was there probably maybe a year. I was 6 months old.
So you don't remember?
No, hardly. Yeah.
Were your parents originally born in the States, or did
No, my father was born in Russia. My father came to this country as a stowaway when he was ran away from the army in Russia and came to this country when he was about 15 years old. And another was born in Philadelphia.
Do you know what year your father came?
No, I really don't. Okay. I could figure it out if it was important.
Anything you can give us is important.
Well, in 1912, he was married, and he was 27 when he was married. So it take 12 years off of that. Off of that. So he
came
in 1900.
And your father's name?
Julius A.
And your mother's name?
Nellie.
Did you spell your father's last
J-U-L-A-U-S,
name?
J-U-L-A-U-S, Joyce.
Okay. And his last name?
Rudolph. My father.
Okay. Was it spelled, no, I don't assume it was spelled the same way or anything
yeah,
coming
oh,
over
I see
from Europe?
Yeah, I can't tell you what it was. It certainly was changed when he arrived here.
Okay. But when he was
when
here,
he came
it
through,
was...
He came through Ellis Island.
Okay.
And that it was something else of what it was exactly, I'm not sure.
And so he came to the States?
It was similar to that.
Did he come directly to Pittsburgh?
No, he had an aunt in New York whom he stayed. And then he started into some kind of clothing business. I don't know what it was. And he was traveling. That's how I met my mother. But my mother and her, and my mother and her mother, my grandmother and her sister, had a store in La Trobe. And he was traveling man. And he does it.
What was your mom's maiden name?
Eliashoff. E-L-I-A-S-H-O-F.
So they all, you said she was from Philadelphia, so they left Philadelphia and
moved to La Trobe. They had relatives in La Trobe, Blairsville area in those days. All in the retail clothing business of some kind.
Is that how your father got into
No, he didn't manufacture. When he came back to Pittsburgh, he went into men's clothing, into the wholesale end of it. And he used to sell all the merchants in the little towns around Pittsburgh before the days of the shopping centers. And all these small communities like Steubenville and Keysport and Indiana and all those little places had their own little shopping areas, you know, downtown shopping street. There were no malls, there were no shopping centers. The gate of any business that's being done in these small towns. It's the ruination of the small towns today. If you go to some of them, you see what's going on in Braddock and Duquesne, Eastport, where we were in business. I was in business here with my brother. They're just decimated, totally out of business.
Get
me started.
Raw.
I talk too much.
No, that's good. I would like to not have to say anything. Just to veer off a little bit, you said you were in business in with your brother when you first started out?
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying, in which area were you in business?
We started in a little store in Wilkinsburg, and we opened it in Eastport, Cambridge. Women's stores.
Mm-hmm.
Women's. Everything but dresses.
Is it a name that we would remember? Or that I would recognize?
No, not probably. It was Gaylord, is what we called it.
You know what? I do remember that.
No, you wouldn't. There was a department store chain, discount chain, called Gaylord, which is what you're probably thinking of.
I don't think so. When?
To you.
No, that may surprise you.
Well, we went into. I'm getting ahead of my story.
We can sidetrack.
We went into, from the retail business, we went into the mail order business. And we used the name Gaylord for that. And that was in the early 50s. So I think that...
So the stores were closed by the early 50s?
The stores were closed.
I remember that name.
Yeah.
You said you were one of four siblings?
One of four.
Can you please tell us...
You don't want to know where we went after we closed the stores yet.
Yeah, no, you want to tell me now.
No,
that's
you'll
great.
Probably come to that. You'll probably come to that.
No, that's fine. We don't have to go in any direct
no, you, order. No, why... We'll get way ahead of it if we
it's all right.
Time wise.
It's okay.
From there, we went into the mail order business, mm-hmm. as I said. And between a brother and a friend of ours, who's still in the city here, got the bright idea of going into the credit card business. So we actually were the forerunners of what you know today as MasterCard and Visa.
Is that right?
Yes. We started a company here in Pittsburgh, and we went public locally with it. And called a trip charge. Take a trip and charge it. And we had offices in California and New York and so on. We finally sold out to the Diners Club. But we tried to sell to American Express, and I remember going to see them, and they said, we'll never get any business. Because they had a lot of cash flow from their traveler's checks, you know, this whole cash sitting there. And they said, well, we'll never get into that business. But they did.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's what is known as the credit card business today. But this is back in the early 50s. We started it. And went public.
We're
a small public issue, but we were one that we knew what going public meant in those days. But we did it in about 1958 or so. We sold out to Diners Club. You had to pay in New York. We weren't solid enough.
But you said you were in California as well?
We had an office in California. We had an office in California. It was interesting. Interesting business.
And you sold it in 58, and what year did you start the business?
We started it at 52. So we were in it about 6 years.
That's a lot of vision. I mean, where did you come up with a credit card?
I have to credit my brother with probably the idea of it. I saw something similar to it out in the state of Washington. Somebody was doing it with gas stations, which we were doing it with too. It's seldom, and they have big signs out front where we accept all credit cards, you know. So a Gulf station could accept a Suncoast card and send it to us, and we would process it. It was interesting. And then we did it with restaurants. We had special things like the Theater Guild and the Pirates Baseball. We charged them, which you can do today. We didn't even charge any place today. We even had what we called a community charge system, which was like if you take a neighborhood like East Liberty, was a very strong commercial area in those days. And we went around, so we solicited the merchants and to use our charge system, you know, the customer came in, they wanted to charge it, they would just call us for clearance. They had our card. So we actually had the idea, but it took a lot more money than we had. So it was prudent for us at that time to liquidate it and sell it to Diners.
And it was called Trip Credit?
Trip Charge.
Trip Charge. But was it just for local charges?
No.
So they could go anywhere?
Well, wherever we had member... Mm-hmm. Subscribers, we had the restaurant belonged, there was a member of Trip Charge. Then you would buy a card from Trip Charge. They buy a membership for like $2.50 in those days. Today you pay $35 or $50 for it. I don't know what it is. But you would buy a card, and you would go into that restaurant, present the card, and charge it. And the restaurant would send the bill to us. We would pay the restaurant and bill the card holder, like they do the bank.
And then once you sold that to the owner's club, then what was the next progression?
Oh, we're getting way ahead of
ourselves.
Yeah,
that's okay.
No. The next progression, let's see. Well, I was sent to a few different things. And some real estate development thing. And got into that. I got into the fast food business. A number of different things that I got involved in. Until I am in the bowling business. We have large bowling centers.
In Pittsburgh or?
In the Pittsburgh area.
What, may I ask you what some of your bowling lines are?
They're not bowling alleys, they're bowling centers.
Okay.
But, there's one on McKnight Road that I built in 1960. It's 48 lanes, it's a lot of big house, and a lounge, and a snack bar, and the whole works. And there's one in Harmerville, and there's one in Greensburg. But we still operate those.
Was your first one in McKnight?
The first bowling center was... The first bowling center was in... let me get there.
No, that's all right. It's fine. It can lay there.
It can?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where were we?
Yeah, we were talking about the first
lanes. We're at McKnight. I had one in Beaver, and I had one up in Route 8. Those were sold.
Was the McKnight Center, was that the largest up until that point?
Largest.
I mean, I can remember a little...
Up to that point, since that point.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's 48 lanes. That's a big house. That's a large house. It was, though, I originally built in 1960, 32 lanes, and the business was good, and the property was available next door, and I bought it, and had it on 16 more lanes 2 years later. So it was good. It's always been good. It's always been one of the leading houses. It by far in this district, but going up further even. And we have one in Harmerville that's 40 lanes.
Up until that point, what would the average bowling center be?
Well, until, the change in the bowling business came about through the automatic pin setters. And one time you needed pin boys, pin setters. Mm-hmm. And that was done away with when the automatics came in. And that was in about 1960, what was your question?
Just what the average lane was up until that point, if you were...
Well, it was small, it was maybe 12 lanes, and then the automatics came in, it went up to 24 and 32, and then there were no other 48, I don't think, in the city, in the area.
So you were one of the first to establish an
automatic? Mm-hmm, in this area.
I remember the little ones, the little
balls. The duck pins.
Yeah,
my father developed a property, built a building, and they had a bowling center, a little bowling alley downstairs, 12 lanes. I remember as a kid we used to go out there and bowl, and those were duck pins.
Mm-hmm. I think where I remember seeing them was on the Beacon Lanes.
Murray Beacon. I spent many hours downstairs behind a curtain.
Yeah.
We used to bowl.
Yeah?
We used to bowl as a kid in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to love it. It's fun.
Is that how you developed into the ball?
No, it had nothing to do with it at all.
Was it just an interest that you always had?
No, that had nothing to do with it. So anyhow, that's how I got into the bowling centers, and I still have them. We still have them. I have two sons with me. But
just to regress a moment, you said you had a partner in the credit card business. Would you like to share, could you share his name with us?
No, it's not important.
All right, and with the boat, and then you said that you were in the fast food.
I bought there used to be an outfit here called Winkies. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
Winkies. Well, I bought a franchise from there, Greensburg.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to buy another one. Again, from Jeanette. And that fell through because they decided to keep it for the company. They were a local company, you know, mm-hmm. Winkies. And an opportunity came along at that time. We were looking for things, and an opportunity came along with Wendy's. And when we got into that, and built that up, it was a substantial operation.
As a matter of fact, I knew the owners of, or I didn't know the owners, I went to school with one of their sons, Stuart Koff?
Oh, Koff, yeah, he was one of the Winkies. Yeah. Went to himself, they called himself. But they were in the meat business, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, Koff, Pete Koff was his father. Mm-hmm. He was a brother-in-law to the Ehrensteins.
So you had the one
Jiffy
Winkies.
Steak.
That's right, Jiffy Steak.
That's who they were. Mm-hmm.
So you had the one Winkies, and one fell through, and then you
when I got the Wendy's franchise, I sold the Winkies back to the Ernstings, back to Jiffy Steak.
When you purchased, and again, you stop me when I go to. When you're talking about opening franchises at Wendy's, sometimes when you open a franchise, you open in an area, you own all the franchises,
we had an exclusive for six counties in western Pennsylvania with Wendy's.
And if I understand, you recently sold them?
We just sold it about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Sold it back to the company, to Wendy's International.
Is Wendy's still in the city then?
Are they still in the city? Yeah, they certainly are. We had 47 stores in the small, relatively small area here. We built it up quite rapidly.
Well, you know what? There was one on Browns Hill Road that I remember.
It's still there.
Is it still there?
Oh,
it is still
there.
There
are. We've never
right.
closed one.
You're absolutely right. It is still there. I'm trying
we
to think.
We never closed one.
Yeah.
We opened 47 of them. And we had more on the planning board than we sold. This year, actually, the first of the year, we completed the sale. So it's been a relatively short time. But my two sons are in with me now and have been since 20-some years. We owned the Wendy's franchise for about 20 years, and they were in on the very beginning. And they worked very hard to build it up. But we work together, and we still do. There's some other things that we do besides the bowling center. We have some other things.
Can you share that with us?
See, you know the Chuck E. Cheese? Mm-hmm. That's ours. I don't know if you were familiar with that. You asked if you knew it.
When my children were small, I remember you had one in Minerva.
We still have. We moved across the street.
It's
we bought
a
building.
Yeah.
You know it? We bought that building, and it was an automobile agency, I think, and we remodeled. Best one, actually, is the bridge building.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to write that down.
Why is that?
But it is. I'm just telling you. But it's good in Monroeville. It's a beautiful installation. It's the best looking building in Monroeville, I think.
Well, it was probably one of the first places, or at least that I knew of, where they actually had children's birthday parties. And
we used to run birthday parties. We still run at the bowling centers.
Yeah,
it was great. We used to have 15 birthday parties on a Saturday, you know. We still have a lot, but not as much as we used to because of the Chuck E. Cheese type of operation. You depend on birthday parties for better than half your business in Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have one in West Mifflin?
Yeah, we have one there, we have one in Bridgeville, we have one in Monroeville. We have two girls that sit here and do nothing but take telephone calls for birthday party reservations.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
For Chuck E. Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Two full-time employees?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of birthday parties. Well, there's a lot to do, you know. But, two of them sit up there.
And is there anything else?
We're in the construction business. You want to know about that?
Okay.
Do you want to know about
that?
Well, we were building all our own Wendy's when we were in the business. We decided if we can do that, why can't we build other things? It's so we became general contractors and developers.
And the name of the company?
J-Bill Construction. J-Bill Development, actually. J-A-B-I-L-L-E. It's James, J-A-B-I-L is Bill, and L is the name. We've done a lot of outside work.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm
what?
In real estate, so I know of a couple of you, at least on the Edgewood Town Square.
Yeah, this townhouse is there. Who are you with?
Prudential.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We were involved in this.
We just built a building for you out in Thorn Mountain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We built that little shopping center we developed. Brugger's are in there.
I'm not quite as familiar with the suburban goings on as I am with the city goings on.
Yeah. Well, but you're on. But yeah, we built for you.
Mm-hmm.
And put a Brugger's bagel store in the same place. We've done a lot of work. We've done a couple of Walmart shopping centers, some Shadyside Academy work. So that became a separate business. You know.
Do you keep that locally, or do you ever go anywhere else to develop outside the city?
Small town, just maybe adjacent town, Uniontown. We did a strip in Uniontown last year, so. And we get a lot of work. We've got a good reputation. We're building the new JEI, Jewish Education Institute. Building St. Philomena's, are you familiar with it?
Mm-hmm.
They've done a remarkable job there, changing it from what it was to the schoolroom. And they're ready to move in there. The administrative people are in there now, and the students will be going in September. And then the building that they're leaving, the corner of Denison and Forbes, Hebrew
mm-hmm.
Institute building, will become the Yeshiva Girls' School, and we're doing that too.
New windows.
What?
I just noticed all the new windows being put in.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah. The windows are going in
already? Well, the plastic is, I mean, it looks like they're really
tearing
them.
Well, they had to remove the asbestos thing. It was a big problem. Asbestos problem today in the old buildings. So, and we did that yeshiva building, the new one at the corner of the one. That's beautiful. Did you? Just had a son, grandson, Bar Mitzvah there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was great. And so, those are another.
Is there anything, any one thing that you enjoy more than something else?
No, I enjoy it all. As long as business is good, I enjoy it. I love the Wendy's business. It's very fun of this. Type of thing in my life, a lot of action, a lot of activity. And well, I'm not sorry that we sold it, but I miss it.
Yeah.
I actually do, sure. I'm in Florida a good part of the winter anymore. I go back and forth. Not as frequently as I did, but I just still do it. And I have a place in Boca Raton. I used to get figures every morning on my fax. And I love that. That was always something to look forward to. And I was on it. I still get my Federal Express mail there. And I was still involved, very much involved.
Not so much now with the development company?
No, I'm involved to the extent that I know everything that's going on, but I'm going to sit in on their meetings. My sons do. Each one has their own job to do. When we were in the Wendy's operation, Jimmy was in charge of marketing and operations, and Bill was in charge of development and administration and new locations and stores. So everybody just kept busy. It was, built a lot of stores in a short time. And I used to get the staff and the training and the marketing. But we enjoyed it. It was good.
When you started out, or when your son started out, was there a lot of hands-on in the store?
The management from the family?
Yeah.
Oh, much more than this. Jimmy kept pretty active in the stores. But Billy's work was no need to be in the stores. You know, they had nothing to do with operations. But Jimmy was in the stores a good bit. But we had people, we were well structured, you know, vice president of operations and 10 district managers. And so we were well structured. We were well organized.
Now, since we're talking about your sons, why don't we continue to talk about them? You're both married.
Oh, yeah.
Could you share their wives' names?
Yeah, well, Jimmy is married to Louisa Fisher. And Billy is married to Linda Fidel. And I have a daughter. Let's not forget my daughter.
Good. You brought her up. And her name?
Wendy.
Really?
Nothing to do. Just coincidental.
And is she married?
See, Wendy is married, she's expecting her fourth child. Wendy was a partner at a very good law firm, and she lives in Washington, D.C. And she was a partner in a law firm there, but she resigned a couple of years ago to raise her pay. She decided she enjoyed that more. So she still has her fingers in child abuse cases. She does rather, you know, just busy. You know, she's busy with these kids. She's running everything.
Okay.
And now she got pregnant again with this one. A bit concerned about it, but I'm not sure. She's 42 years old.
It's becoming more and more common.
Yes, it is. So anyhow, that's all right. So that's Wendy.
Well, who is Wendy married to?
Wendy is married to Graham Bush, B-U-S-H.
And their children's names?
Emily, Jennifer, Sam.
And to be announced.
To be announced.
How old is Emily?
Emily is 9, going on 10. 9 and a half, Emily. Jennifer's 7. Sam is 4. Start with me with Bowie's kids.
We'll get there. With Wendy, you say she's still dabbling a little bit in.
Yeah.
Was she
That's
always
mediation
in domestic,
work.
Or was she in general law? Or?
She was in corporate law.
Corporate law?
Mm-hmm.
And now she's dealing with that? Or?
Well, it's just one day a week. Okay. She'll go down, you know, it's in Washington, they have so much of it, you know, abused children. It's a bad situation.
And Graham?
Graham's an attorney.
He's
a partner in the same firm Wendy was in. He's a partner. Both partners in the same firm, which is unusual. You know, it's something that they law firms usually do. But she was. She was good. I have to say so myself.
Yeah,
she was good.
Mr. Rudolph,
she was
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say we're going to turn the tape so we don't miss anything.